Hi everyone, and welcome to our Sunday worship at Partick Trinity. My name is Alan and I'm the youth worker at the church, and I will be leading this week's worship video. Just a short announcement to bring to your attention just before we get started, and that is for next Saturday, which is the 20th of March. It's a date for your diary. It is our church weekend in. And as most of you will be aware, we were due to be at Barcapel next week, but because of the current restrictions, that is not allowing us to do that. So Julie and the rest of the team have been working hard behind the scenes to make four different activities available for everyone, and they are opt-in, opt-out, so you can take part in whatever you want to. If you're interested in knowing more about that, then please check the email newsletter that is sent round everyone on a Sunday morning, and if you're not signed up for that, don't worry, because you can get in touch with Julie directly by emailing her at afterhours@partycktrinity.org.uk. So as we start our worship this morning, let us focus on the words of Psalm 89 verses 1-8.
Psalm 89, verses 1 to 8. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you.
You have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Thank you. all your promises are yes and amen.
Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who can be trusted in all that you do. We thank you for the many ways that you have helped us during this past week and how it is a reminder to each of us of your great faithfulness. You are the everlasting God who never changes even when our situations do. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move among us as we sit in our own homes and take time to focus on you today. As we focus on you, let us unite by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Trust is something that we can find quite a challenge sometimes, isn't it? All throughout our lives, we have to put our trust in different people at different times. Let me give you some examples of this. So when you're learning to drive, you're not quite sure what you're doing, so you pay an instructor to teach you what to do, and you put your complete trust in their ability to help teach you how to drive. When you're at school or studying in further education, you put your trust in the person teaching from the front because they are the experts, and by doing so you hope to pass your exams or gain your qualifications. When you're unwell or when you're injured and you go to the doctors, you're trusting them as the experts to diagnose the problem and to offer medicine or a solution on how to make you feel better again. And then in politics, when it is election time, we vote on a candidate or a party that we feel can most, that we can most trust, who we feel will help run our country in the best way. So these are all examples of trust that each of us have all experienced in one way or another. But if we're being really honest, there are some people that we trust more than others, aren't there? Thinking back over the past year, has there been anyone that our whole nation has had complete trust in, and that they could be described as being completely faithful to us in all that they've said or done? The truth is, all throughout our lives, we are constantly looking for something that we can fully trust, something or someone to help us during the bad or the good, something or someone that we can build our life upon, a solid foundation, someone who always keeps their word, who never changes, someone who is faithful in all that they do and are upright and trustworthy. Well, the good news is that we have a God who is fully trustworthy and fully faithful to keep his word and to keep his promises in all that he does. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses is talking to the Israelite people about what God wants them to do when they finally get to the promised land. He is speaking here with great confidence because he puts his complete trust in the faithful words of God, and he knows that God always keeps his promises. So Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9 says this: "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." So God is a faithful God and will continue to be faithful to the many generations to come. Why? Because it's in his nature. We can trust every word that the Bible says because it is the living word of God given to us to help us and direct us during our life. The Bible is an amazing gift from God to each one of us that's full of promises that can be relied upon when we are faced with times of uncertainty, of doubt, and of fear. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 says this: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So our need for God's word is more than we can ever know. We're now going to hear from a couple of members of our congregation who are going to share specific times in their own lives where they've put their trust in the faithfulness of God through his word.
Morning, everyone. The verse I want to share with you today is from Psalm 46. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's my go-to verse when I'm going through situations that cause me great panic or fear or anxiety, because it reminds me that God is in control of my life and will be with me in every situation. The verse is set to music, so it's really easy to remember, and I can sing it very quietly to myself just to make myself feel better. One occasion when I used this verse and it really helped me was when I was still teaching in Luero in Uganda. I'd finished 3 months there and I was coming back to Scotland. I knew that this time I wouldn't have any help to get from Luero back to Kampala and then on to the airport. Gabriel and Deborah were actually in the UK, and it would involve a Boda Boda ride, which is a motorcycle, followed by a taxi with lots of other people in it, which would take me to Kampala. And there my missionary friends were going to meet me at a well-known supermarket and take me to the airport. Things went well. I got the Boda Boda and then the taxi. But then a most awful thing happened. The taxi dropped me off in a completely different place where I would normally get the taxi. It was not the taxi park that I knew. And I just remember this terrible feeling of panic and anxiety. And what would I do? How would I find the supermarket? So I just said this verse over and over again, and it really did calm me down. Then I saw an American and heard his voice. He asked me if I was okay. When I explained my situation, he said he knew the supermarket and he was actually going along that street anyways, and he would take me part of the way. I was so relieved. I was thanking God just for his kindness. And I got to the supermarket and met my missionary friends, who then took me on to the airport. I can't thank God enough for being with me in this situation.
I've been asked to share a bit of testimony from a time in my life where I've had to put my full trust in God, holding on to Scripture to lead me through. So in order to give a bit of understanding, first, a bit of background. As some of you may know, I have suffered from depression from a very early age. Some say from early childhood, which means that I can sometimes be very anxious, you know, about things, or get upset without even knowing why I'm upset. And I recall back to a time when I've been going through university, which meant spending time away, you know, from home, and the pressures of studying and I've been able to maintain that presence can sometimes be difficult when sometimes you just wanted to shut yourself off, hidden away in a room all by yourself. But this draws me to some of the memory verses that I've learned over the years. And it is back whilst I was in university that I put to memory one part of a scripture that I'm going to cover just now. And that's from Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, where it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring will live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord your God swore to your fathers, so to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. That to me tells us that God has given us a choice to choose life or death, blessing or curse. So a second part of a scripture that I also remember is from the New Testament. In John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So these verses have saw me through so many times when it's got dark, when the thoughts have went to negativity, and God has brought me back to himself, held me close like a father does, and shows such unconditional love. In saying so, that is where, to even this day, when I created my Twitter account through university, I'm still using the phrase that says Jesus for life. So when you're choosing life over death, you are choosing Jesus. You're choosing to put your trust in him. And when you do that, he will always see you through all of your dark times, through the good days and the bad. God is there for you. Just put your trust in him, and he will always set you on the path that leads to not only salvation, but what God wants for you when you trust and put your full trust in him.
I'd like to share with you today something that happened for me personally quite some time ago when my faith was truly tested. It was more than 20 years ago and we had planned a holiday to Canada, and it was quite a special holiday, and we were going away for 3 weeks. So a few days before, we were getting quite excited and getting packed up, and then my father suddenly collapsed and was taken into hospital. And at that time, we weren't really sure what was going on with him, but we realised he was quite unwell. The next day, however, we set off on holiday. I was quite reluctant to do that, but we needed to go on holiday. The day after we arrived in Canada, I phoned home just to get an update on what was happening, and I received the diagnosis that my father had cancer. And that was quite a shock. I was on a payphone in the middle of a busy street in Vancouver, and I felt scared. I felt alone and pretty helpless. I was so far away and it was out of my control. So I prayed to God and I asked that he would keep my father alive and until we'd finished our holiday and were back home again. And that was all I really asked for at that time. But I realised I had to trust him and trust the family and also the healthcare team that were looking after my father. But I read a verse in the Bible that is one of my favourite ones, and it's from Philippians 4, and it's verse 13. I will do all this through him who gives me strength. And that was what I needed at that time. I was physically, emotionally and spiritually exhausted. I had the verse up on my bedroom wall when I was a teenager, and I would read it regularly, particularly in the early years of my nursing career when I'd had a difficult day, and I had plenty of them. And I would take comfort from that and the strength to carry on. We carried on with our holiday, and God provided this loving Christian family to look after us and help us through this time. And they took me to church that first Sunday, and it was very comforting to be around other Christians, to be praising God, reading his word, and praying together. So that was really helpful. He also provided technology so that when I came back from a busy day out and about, there would be a message in my inbox just with an update from the family telling me how Dad was getting on. And he made a good recovery after his operation. We carried on with the holiday, and by the time we got back home to Glasgow, my dad was at home. So we feel very blessed that he then went on and lived a good quality of life for many years. So what that situation taught me was that you're never alone, that you can ask for God's help. He knows what we need and when we need it, and that his word is true. Trust in him, be faithful to him, and he won't let you down.
What amazing stories of the complete faithfulness of God, and what a timely reminder of the great power we have from the living word of God and the strength that can be found when we trust in what it says. So a massive thank you to Anne, Chris and Janice for sharing those stories with us. We're now going to focus our attention on today's passage, which comes from Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. And from this passage, we see a situation where Simon Peter realises fully for himself the power of God through Jesus when he speaks with him.
Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
From this passage, it is my hope that we see firsthand the importance of trusting God's word and how he is faithful in all he does, and that he will continue to be faithful for all eternity. I also hope that we learn from Simon Peter's experience so that we can be encouraged in our own lives and in our own walk with God and know what to expect as we journey through life. I want to take time to highlight three things that we can learn from Simon Peter's experience that will help ready us as we strive to live a life of faith with Jesus on a daily basis. The first thing is that we should always be ready to listen to Jesus and to do what he says. This is such a simple thing to do, but it's so often we find ourselves not doing it. We see in verse 4, Jesus asks Simon Peter to take his boat and go out into the deep water and cast the nets for a catch. Now his response here is what I want to focus on. Simon Peter says, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Jesus' power and authority is displayed, and Simon Peter notices and responds in faith. Simon Peter, who was the fisherman to trade, the expert in his field, who had been trying all night to get a catch and is probably quite tired, he responds in a way that I'm sure we can all sympathise with. It's almost like he's saying, "Come on, Jesus, I know what I'm doing here. We have tried and there isn't any fish there to catch." Then he suddenly has a change in attitude when he says, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." In that moment, Simon Peter's humanity and his spirituality collide, and all of a sudden he forgets about his expertise and knowledge and he focuses on the authority of the words of Jesus and does exactly what he asks him to do. He puts his trust in the faithful words of Jesus. Later in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus explains that whoever wants to be his disciples, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. In other words, they must say no to what they want to do and yes to what Jesus wants them to do. Simon Peter here does exactly that. In our own situations, do we drown out, forget about, or even fail to listen to Jesus and his guidance for the way ahead? Have we ever stopped to think about the fact that God's word could be the missing part of our life and it's not just some old book? Maybe today is the time in your life where this becomes real for you and you discover the strength and assurance that can be found in what the Bible says. In the busyness of life, it is so easy to forget or never even give a thought to exactly what we build our lives on. But take courage, because God is always there, ready to help if we'd only just listen and put our trust in him. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." Simon Peter experiences this promise. The conversation that we've looked at today shows us this. Simon Peter goes from being distant from God and doing his own thing to being close to him and following his direction and guidance in his life. He becomes so close to God that he listens and begins to really recognise who he's speaking with. The Son of God, the Messiah. It is so easy to let our humanity get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. Let this be a challenge to you in the days ahead. If you're serious about your relationship with God, draw close to him. Make spending time with him a priority by reading your Bible and listening to his guidance. The second thing that I want to point out is that we all have choices to make. Do we choose God's way or our own way? In Genesis, at the beginning of the Bible, we're reminded that God gave human beings freedom of choice, so free will, because he is fair and just and wants us to decide for ourselves whether or not to follow him and his word. We see in verse 6 and 7 the results of Simon Peter deciding to do things God's way and not his own way, because there is such an amazing catch that their nets begin to break, so they had to get help to transport it all to shore. There was much blessing for Simon Peter and the others who witnessed this amazing catch, because he denied himself and he listened to what Jesus said and did what Jesus asked him to do. If Simon Peter here hadn't listened to Jesus and he let his pride and his humanity get in the way of listening and trusting in what Jesus had said to him, this miraculous catch would not have taken place. Throughout the Bible, there are a number of occasions when people choose to do things either God's way or their own way, and each of the choices have their own results or consequences. Jesus himself, during his time in the wilderness, demonstrates what it looks like to do things God's way and shows the power and the authority that we have when we put our trust in the faithful words of God. Jesus was tempted by the devil when he was at his weakest, after spending 40 days and 40 nights fasting. The devil comes along and tried on three occasions in three different ways to cause Jesus to sin, but he didn't. How did he manage to withstand all that was thrown at him? How did he ensure he continued to do things God's way? Well, it's quite simple. He knew the scriptures and he put his complete trust in the faithful words of God, even when the devil tried to twist the scripture to trick him. He knew God and his word so well that he used it to defend and protect his relationship with him. God wants the best for us, and trusting in his word is the best way of ensuring we protect our relationship with him and do things his way. The psalmist writes in Psalm 18, verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him." We can try and live our life on our own way, but trials will still come. It's just we need to face them on our own. By trusting fully in God and his promises from his word, we are letting him into our situations, which gives us that extra inner strength to stand firm when we are faced with difficulty. The third and final thing I want to point out is that when God shows his faithfulness to us, we are unworthy because of our doubt. verses 8 and 9 say, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken." Simon Peter here falls at Jesus' knees because by seeing Jesus follow through with his word, he finally realises who Jesus is, the Messiah sent from God as God had promised. He feels unworthy because he doubted Jesus' sovereignty. We can all sympathise with Simon Peter here because we all have moments in our life when we doubt or focus too much of our attention on the situation rather than the one who can get us through the situation. After Jesus' death and resurrection, Thomas, one of Jesus' own disciples who followed him during his ministry, was told that Jesus had risen from the dead. But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Even Jesus' disciples had doubt. Thomas had been with Jesus and heard him speak of his death and resurrection. But he still doubted until Jesus appeared to him and he was able to see for himself that this was true. The American pastor Stephen Furtick explains that faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the means to overcome it. Simon Peter certainly overcomes his doubt when he puts his trust in Jesus and what he was asking him to do. So don't let doubt drive you away from God. Let it be an opportunity to grow your faith. Draw nearer to God and trust more in his word. Simon Peter, after this encounter, left everything that he had and followed Jesus because he's seen for himself the power and authority of the never-failing words of God. So as we close, let us be reminded that we all have a choice to make in our own lives in every situation that we face. Do we let God in and do things his way, or do we do things our own way? Will we lay aside pride, skills, and our humanity in order to listen to God and trust in his unfailing word? Let us be reminded also that doubt will come, but that it gives an opportunity for our faith to grow stronger as we draw closer to God. God wants to live life with each one of us, no matter who you are or what you've done. He wants us to experience the great strength that is found in the faithful words of the scriptures. And he wants us to trust in his many promises. All he asks of you is that you come to him, listen to what he says, and do what he asks. Amen.
Christ is born, Christ.
Confidence into the days ahead, trusting in God's unfailing love and faithfulness. God will not abandon you, for you are the work of his hands, his own creation, and his love endures forever. So go in joy to love and serve the Lord. Amen.